then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me where have I been, what's on my mind. They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you a lot the same. I may wear the same old clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. I was lost in darkness, searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wait. Have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man. You would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead.
The old man is dead. You know, as Stacy was singing, if you're looking on the outside, oh, but if you could look on the inside. Do you know how many of us still look on the outside of our being and don't really, really see that the old man is dead? And that as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And if you remember, I shared with you this morning that we were that seed that fell into the earth and died. And when you are regenerated, and isn't it strange that the scriptures uses the word regenerated? when we are once again begin to be awakened to our true nature and our true identity, we are a brand new creation. But in that new creation, there is absolutely nothing of the old. There is no death. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no separation from God. There is absolutely nothing in that new creation but a person who is alive with the fullness of God. And as I shared this morning, as we have our eyes unveiled to realize that we are not trying to get into the most holy place, but that is where we are, and that is who we are. We are beginning to realize that we are the presence of God on this earth. And that as we minister from that most holy place, from the spirit man that we are, as we begin to minister from that place, you will see not only your life change, but you will see those around you change. Because when you begin to walk in the reality of who you are, life always creates change. You know, dead things don't change. That's why people can go to church year after year after year and listen to the same man and sing the same songs and go through the same ritual and die and never experience change. The living changes. Life will change you. If you're going to church, you may not change, but if you touch life, you will change without even going to church. We are a brand new creation. And I can't stress enough that there is nothing of the old creation in the new. But the problem is because we are still, to a great degree, even those of us who are beginning to walk in this realm of the Spirit, to a great degree, we are still conscious of the mortality. I don't know about you, but there's still things in my physical being that should not be. But I'll tell you, as I shared this morning, the more we realize that we are spiritual beings, that we don't just have a spirit, we don't just have something of God, but we are created with the very and out of the very substance of God Himself. As Paul said it in one place, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now we talk about God and we talk about Holy Spirit and we talk sometimes about Jesus as though they were apart from us. Yet when you realize that you are a spiritual being created out of the very substance of God Himself, you are a spiritual being. There is no separation. There is no, sometimes these things are so hard to express, but the very substance of God. Genesis chapter 1 says that God created man in His image. We know what God is. God said God is spirit. So in Genesis chapter 1, God created you and me a spiritual being. You may not have the foggiest, but in the beginning, God created you a spirit, and you were there with the sons of God in the very beginning, shouting over the creation of God. You were created first a spiritual being in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, it says God formed man from the dust of the ground. Now, did God create man, or did He form man? He did both. He created you a spirit and then formed from the dust of the ground a body and you became a physical being. Again, you know, man's problem is not that he is a lost sinner going to hell. His problem that he is living in an identity that's totally a lie and a falsity, having no idea where he came from and who he is. But when the spark of life regenerates us, when you first have the reality of God touching your life, you become what the scriptures call regenerated. Once again, You have been sleeping in the dust of the earth, thinking yourself as a carnal human being. But the fire of God begins to ignite. The Word of God comes to you and regenerates your spirit. And once again, you begin to awaken to your spiritual identity. From the very moment that God quickened your spirit began an ascension process. Your spirit began to ascend back where it came from. And thank God for the day that we are living in. Because our spirits today are becoming so strong. And our eyes are being unveiled to the reality of our true identity. And from that most holy place, we are beginning to minister the creative Word of God that will bring to you everything that you need. I don't know how to say this properly because some people think that I'm devaluing the character of Jesus when I say this, but I'm really not. You know, His name is the highest name. He holds the greatest position in the universe. But nevertheless, you are no less a son of God than Jesus Himself. And once you awaken to your true identity, and His nature begins to be formed in you. You remember what Paul said to the Galatians? How I travail until Christ be formed in you. And when His life and character, when that spirit that has been regenerated begins to be formed, begins to grow, begins to be strengthened within you, you begin to have a realization of your oneness with God. And the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 begins to become a reality in your life. Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. See, and He wasn't praying that because they weren't. But you don't have the realization of it. In a sense, He was praying, Father, reveal to them the oneness that we have. He used the illustration of the vine and the branches. How could the vine and the branches be separate? They have the same life that courses through the vine and the branch. For it pleased the Father in Colossians 1:19-22, it pleased the Father that in Him, Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Well, that's the message that's being proclaimed today from the housetops. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You are going to begin to hear the gospel in a totally different mindset than what you had before. Before, we've always had the mindset that, some of these things are so hard to express, but we've had the mindset that God is saving me in the sense of this old carnal nature. That this old carnal nature is what God came to redeem. Well, the old carnal nature is what the fire of God wants to burn out of you. There's no redemptive value in carnality, in the human consciousness. The message of Calvary is that you are redeemed, not that carnal mentality, that weak, frail human being that you are, but you are a spiritual being. And as a spiritual being, having the life, the nature, and the character of God, God has imputed to you, that new man, or that new creation man, His righteousness. Has nothing to do with the old nature and the old man. The old man is dead. Yet, in all the religions of the world, all of them teach that old man what to do to become godly, to regain his position that he had in the garden. And the message of Calvary is the old man is dead. On Calvary, everything of the old creation, and this is so plain in scriptures, but we can't grasp it with the carnal mind. It's like I said this morning, the scriptures say that the natural man cannot receive the things of God. It's impossible for the carnal mentality, the human consciousness, to receive and accept the things of God, because they're beyond human comprehension. Nevertheless, the message of Calvary is that all of the old creation went into death. And on the resurrection, Jesus rose the head of a brand new creation. And again, I have to stress, in that new creation, there is nothing of the old. The new creation is not the old creation made better. It's not a message about the old creation being redeemed. It's about a new creation. It's about you having your eyes unveiled to realize you are the righteousness of God. Not in your human mentality, but you are not a human being, you are a spiritual being. I've been saying this everywhere I go now for about a year, so you've probably heard it. But you are not a human being on a spiritual journey. You are a spiritual being on a human journey. And when you realize you are a spiritual being on a human journey, you can begin to take control of your circumstances and your life. If you're a human being on a spiritual journey, you have no control. You just keep trying to have control. So, by Him to reconcile unto Himself all things, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The whole world has been reconciled to God. And you can understand that when you realize that everyone on this earth is a spiritual being. We all came here from the spiritual realm, and we are lost in an Adamic consciousness and in what we feel is a human nature that is separated and alienated from God. Now, this is what Jesus came to destroy. The workings of the devil is the tare that was sown in your field of the human consciousness. That feeling of inadequacy, the feeling of separation, the feeling of not being able to do that which the righteousness of the law requires. That's the tare. That's you thinking that, you know, it's not possible in your human thinking that you could be and live as God on this earth. We know that's impossible. Yet we have an example of a man who did it by the name of Jesus. Now we believe that he did it. But in our minds, because of the religious teachings, we feel that he did that because he was the Son of God, not realizing that we are the same. In the sense of having the same life, the same abilities, the same nature, and the same character. And you are precious. Everyone on this earth is precious in the sight of God because all of us were lowered into the physical realm, lost in an Adamic consciousness, not realizing who we are, why we are here, and where we're going. And that's why God wants us to understand that at the cross, redemption, salvation, included everyone on the earth. Because everyone was lost in an Adamic consciousness. You see, the tragedy isn't that you're a sinner and you're living a life of sin and rebellion and disobedience, or maybe full of lust, pride, envy. That isn't the tragedy. The tragedy is that you're living there believing that you're trapped in this human consciousness and that's the way you are. When in reality, the veils that's been cast over all nations is beginning to be peeled back and we're beginning to realize that I, in the beginning, was created in the image of God as a spiritual being. And I fell into this earth, and while I slept, there was a tear sown of the human consciousness. And we've been raised not having the foggiest idea of where we came from and who we are here. And so, we have tried everything under the sun to ease this sin consciousness that we have. Religion has tried everything known to man to rid ourselves, our minds, of this sin consciousness. This feeling of not quite measuring up. There's just certain things in us and about us that we just know that, you know, that it's just ungodly. But when the light and the glory and the presence of God begin to arise in a human vessel, all of that weak, sinful condition begins to crumble at our feet. About the best thing that religion can produce for you is to rearrange your carnality into something a little bit better. But we all know that no matter how good we are, you know, you could stop every sin in your life right now, whether, you know, I say, let's say you did. Well, no matter what that is, if you stop, completely stop sinning, everything that you knew you shouldn't do, you just stop. You would be a much better person, but you still wouldn't be what God is after. You see, this whole, and this is a very hard concept for people to get, yet it's the simplicity of the gospel. God is not after making men better or worse. He wants to unveil and to reveal to you that you are His Son on the earth, and that you can begin to experience and walk in the reality of a Son of God. Not someday, but today. But as long as you're trapped in this human consciousness, it's the greatest prison in the world. Because your mind will lie to you. Forget about the devil. It's your mind that you have to deal with. That's why Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because your mind is where the accuser of the brethren dwells. And as long as you're expecting in any way, shape, or form this human nature to become godly, you will always fall under the accuser of the brethren. Because this human nature, this carnal mentality, this feeling of separateness from God, this drive to become more like God is the Antichrist spirit. Now, there's a difference between you hungering and thirsting after God. That's a spiritual thing. But when you get into the performance of trying to make that happen out of a limited human consciousness, is where Paul calls it falling from grace. Whenever you get into the works of trying to perform this thing according to the law. Do you know why that Christianity is called the Judaic Christian religion? It's a good definition for Christians. Because it's a mixture of Judaism and Christianity. In simpler terms, it's a mixture of law and grace. And I can guarantee you that as long as in your mentality you have a mixture of law and grace, you will never experience what I'm trying to share with you. Because there is nothing in your human mentality that you can do to make this happen. I have to read this again. I'm going to read it rather than quote it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Your mind cannot possibly grasp spiritual truth. That's why I say over and over that men, even men who are walking to some degree in this experience, cannot teach you this. It's not a teaching, it's a life. And it's something that every one of you have on the inside of you. I love that song, Linda. God's seed is in all of humanity. Oh, you may not see it, but it's there. Within you is a great mystery. Within your very own being is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. What are you saying, Gary? Are you God? Not in my human mentality. Not in my carnal nature. But I am a spiritual being created by my Father God. And I can be no less than what He is in my spiritual, in the new creation man. In that man that I'm becoming aware of, there is no separation between that man and God. That doesn't mean we lose individual identity, spiritually speaking. But, you know, naturally speaking, we are all humans because we all share the carnal Adamic life. And it is no different spiritually once you're awakened to your true nature. We are beginning to believe what has been written here for 2,000 years. I mean, not just agree intellectually, but we'll be actually beginning to believe because God has been opening our eyes. And you know, one of the things that was said of Jesus is that He destroyed the works of the devil, and He brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. Well, that happened 2,000 years ago. Now, I know a lot of you interpret that verse to say that He brought life and immortality through the gospel, but the word immortality is, in the original language, is the word incorruptibility. However, you know, if you become incorruptible, immortality, you have immortality. Because, and she, you see, that's what we have. Immortality, incorruptibility, is not something to be strived for. It's something that you possess. You possess incorruptibility, but it's hidden in the holiest of all. For our life is hid with Christ in God. And when He appears within you, you shall also appear with Him in glory. And when you see Him within you, you will be like Him, for you will really see Him as He is. You talk about a rapture. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And this incorruptible, or this corruptible, will put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And death shall be swallowed up by my life within me, coming forth from the very throne of God. You see, we really are seated with Him in heavenly places. And again, not in our carnality. You see, the carnal man lives in the earthly realm, but the spirit man lives in the heavenly realms. And heaven, the city of God, the new Jerusalem, if you have eyes to see, is descending out from the very heavens of God into this earth. And you can say, look and behold, the tabernacle of God is now with man. You see, we are not becoming a tabernacle of God. We are the tabernacle of God. You see, the carnal man keeps trying to finish the work, and it will never be finished in the carnal nature. But in Christ, the work was finished 2,000 years ago. Your spiritual man, that new creation man, does not have to learn how to be godly. He comes from the very realm of the spiritual realities. That life in you will swallow up death and despair and despondency. It will swallow up every weakness, every sin, every sickness, and every disease. The more you realize that you are ministering and living in the holiest of all, from your spirit, from your true nature, will flow the life. Out of His innermost being, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You see, from the very spiritual realm where you really live flows the waters of life that will cleanse and restore your soul and give life and even quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells within you. You don't need to try to be righteous. You are righteous because God has made you righteous. Not Gary Sigler, the man, in his human consciousness, but God has made me. I am the very righteousness of God in Christ. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, you see, in your mind, you were sometimes alienated. It's the only place you've ever been. You know, in reality, you have never been separated from God. You came to this physical plane and you fell in a sleep, and the enemy has sowed the tear of the human personality and conscience within you. But in your spirit, you have never been separated from God. And we're beginning to wake up to that reality. You were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now see, that's not to Nelta's human personality and her carnal nature. That is telling her who she really is. You see, because we are of his substance and of his nature, how could we stand anything but complete and perfect in his presence? Spiritual death, alienated man, in his mind only from the life of God that dwells within his spirit. And that's why I started that series a couple of years ago called Coming Out of Darkness. Because Paul warned the Ephesians in chapter 4. He said, don't be like the Gentiles who are darkened in their mind to the reality of God in their spirit. And see, that's what happens to most people. They get regenerated, but yet, mainly due to religion, they never have a full revelation and understanding of who they are and what has happened to them. They immediately go from being regenerated, being a new creation man, into the religious practices of taking their human personality and then trying to conform it into godliness. And that is the abomination of desolation. You see, self is the abomination of desolation. It is that human consciousness sitting in the temple of God, declaring itself to be God, and not really, really yielding to and even knowing about the reality of God in their spirits. This whole thing that we go through, this unrighteous feeling, causes this sense of worthlessness, inferiority, weakness. Well, why wouldn't we feel inferior to God? We are just humans. You see, sin consciousness, that's what it produces. People who are alienated in their minds from the life of God, the ability of God, the loveliness of God, the power of God that dwells within them. And because we have not known to reject the carnal mind and learn to live out from the spiritual being that we are, we continually strive to make that thing better and find ourselves in the experience of Galatians chapter 4, of reverting back to the law, Judeo-Christianity, a mixture of law and grace. And until we get law out of the message and get people to understand the loveliness and the grace of God, we will never walk in the reality of our true nature and our true identity. The new creation man has no problem living and fulfilling all the righteous requirements of the law. Is it difficult for God to be godly? Was it difficult for Jesus, being a Son of God, was it difficult for him to do what he did? No, why? Because he knew who he was. He knew that he was a Son of God. He knew why he was on the earth. And I'm telling you, that same revelation is coming to the people of God. Sin consciousness is what causes the reasoning in your mind. Causes men to go into all kinds of philosophy and religious practices. Sin consciousness is the cause of every major problem on the face of the earth. Is man being lost in an identity of being a carnal human being. Lost to the reality of his true nature. I'm sure some of you have experienced this. But when I began to realize these truths, I knew them for many years before I began to experience them. But when I first began to experience this, the life and the nature of God beginning to arise in me, unless you've experienced it, of being such a failure for so many years, and it was like, I'll never forget, it was, I don't know the exact day, but it was in July of 1982. But I woke up one morning, and I knew that I was a new creation man. Now, I didn't become perfected at that point. I can't say I never missed God, you know, but one day I just knew. And the bondages, just from that recognition, the bondages that came off of my life. And that's the problem, is that we're living in this identity that does not recognize its unity and its oneness with God. And you see, the only way that you can know, even in your own, because your mind will trick you into thinking you're godly because you're a good person. You've maybe quit some sin and you go to church and you enjoy God and you jump up and down and you sing and you dance and you have fun. You know? The only way that you can really know if you are experiencing God in you is if He is living in you. And I know, it's like I shared earlier today with someone, you know, we've been told for years that Jesus lives in us. The first doctrine probably that you're taught when you receive Jesus is, well, now that you've received Him, He lives in you. So we've accepted this intellectually for years. Some people live to be 90 and 100 years old, knowing that Jesus lives in them, yet never experiencing the oneness and the unity and the love of God flowing from their being. They know He's there, but they don't experience Him. So the only way that you can know this is by the fruit of the tree. See, the fruit of the tree of life, the fruit of His life within you, if within your consciousness and in your being, if you can see being reproduced, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temptness, meekness, and self-control. If those experiences are being reproduced in you, you know then who you really are. Yet on the other hand, if you're living out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you see, your experience will be that. Sometimes you'll be very good, and other times you won't be so good. You will love those who love you, but you will be hurt. You will find yourself with bitterness. You will find yourself asking, God, after all I've done for them, how can they do this to me? If that is the fruit of your life, then you know that you've missed the kernel of the gospel. Because the kernel of the gospel is not that you were saved from hell to go to heaven. The very kernel of the gospel is when Jesus proclaimed, I am come that you might have life. And the word life he used was the word Zoe, which is the highest form of life. It is God's life himself. He said, I am come not to remake your human personality. I am come not to make you a better person, but I am come so that you might have my life reproduced within you. If you realize what God wants, and you realize what he is doing, then he will begin to burn out the tear from your consciousness. And until you understand the message of the gospel is only to the new creation man, there is no gospel message for your old human nature. None. The old man is dead. You see, it's not an old nature that you're dealing with. It's an unrenewed, unregenerate mind that has to be dealt with. So forget about the religious practices of crucifying the flesh, because you can't anyway. The old man is dead. And what you need is a renewed mind. You need to be able to stand in the very presence of God and declare what God declares. You see, if God declares you to be a son, and God has declared you to be righteous, if God has said, I will not impute unto you your sin, but I will impute unto you my righteousness, you need to learn how to agree in your mind with his word. And you need to begin to speak the creative word of God from your spirit that will change your human mentality and your human thinking. God's life is a speaking life. Our God is a speaking God. Everything he creates through his word and through his speaking. And you being created in his likeness and his image will do the same thing. You see, you keep your human consciousness alive. You keep that old dead religious thinking alive because you think about it and you give voice to it. And I did it for years. I said for years, I will never be able to be like I want to be. I will never be able to quit some of the habits that I have. I'll tell you, the Word and Faith movement of a few years ago, not that it's still out there today, but there was such a kernel of truth in that message that most of the people missed because they took it with their carnal mentality and they knew or thought they could use and manipulate God through confessing that which they desired in the natural. And multitudes of... Because I want to tell you something. When the new man... The new creation man gets a hold of the reality that God does not impute to me my sin. He imputes to me his righteousness. Then I can look at that, and it says, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, if you do that you do not want to do, it is no longer you that is doing it, but it is the sin principle that dwells within you. It's that human consciousness that keeps you separated and alienated from the life of God in your spirit. New creation man knows that God does not impute to him sin. He imputes to him his righteousness. Oh my. You know, through the cross is a story that reveals to us the heart of our Father. Jesus came to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, because they had been lost for years in the religion of Judaism. They didn't realize all of the practice and everything were just simply types and shadows. But the story of the cross is a story of God's love. Yet religion has turned that around and said that God was so angry over man's sin that he sent his son and punished his son on the cross to appease his anger so that he could have mercy on his creation. Again, carnally minded men misusing the word of God. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, even before the creation of the world, forgiveness was already in place. His righteousness was already in place. God does not hold you accountable for your sin because you are living in a mistaken identity, not knowing who you are. Will he deal with sin? Absolutely. Can you live any way you want to? Yes, and you will pay for it. Because you have been called into sonship. And if you take the word of grace and use it according to the flesh, and use it to live any way you want to, God will just pour upon you his judgments. But you know the wonderful thing about God's judgments? The scriptures say when your judgments are in the earth, the people will learn righteousness. So you see, even though you rebel against God, he doesn't judge you out of anger. He judges you to teach you righteousness. He judges you, raises up the circumstances, throws you in the fire, to make you realize your need of him. But now the righteousness of God in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Think of that. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Can you hear what those verses are saying? We have to get this mixture of law out of our mind. God is not commanding you to take your human carnal nature and put it under some kind of bondage trying to make it better. It does not even exist in the mind of God. And you dealing with it and working with it will only cause you great failure and great heartache. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. Can you really believe God? Now that may sound like a strange question for me to ask Christians, but that's the greatest problem in the church, is unbelief. If you can believe the simplicity of the gospel, you know, and in simple terms it's this. You were born in a human nature. You were born in a human consciousness, separated in your mind from the life of God in your spirit, separated from the seed of God in your spirit, and you're lost. Now, some of us in this human condition that are lost, we are living by a knowledge of good and evil. We govern our lives by law, by what is good and what is evil. That's the human consciousness. But God says that his life, his nature, his seed, his spirit are within you. God's word says that at Calvary, he took the sin of the world away. John said, speaking of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Can you believe that? Because the righteousness of God is unto them which believe. Believe what? Well, believe simply what God has said. It's that simple. You, because of your experience, believe that you are a human being trapped in this prison of a human consciousness trying to find your way back to God. God's Word says, at the cross, the old man was crucified. The Scriptures say that God in Christ reconciled the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Then why are you imputing not only to you, but to others their sin? That's another thing. You know, people today, even some who are preaching reconciliation, are not really reconciling the world. As long as you look at another human being and judge them in their condition and judge them unrighteously, you do not understand reconciliation. Even though you read it and confess it with your mouth, you really don't believe it. Because if you really believe the word of reconciliation, if you really believe that God is not today imputing unto man his sin, but rather is imputing to him righteousness, you will do the same. When you look at someone who is mistreating you, you look at someone who is in a fault, you're looking at someone who is living a life of sin, you will impute to them God's righteousness. You will stand, this is a priest who reaches into the heavenly realm and holds humanity and speaks the word of life to a lost and dying creation. If you begin to walk in the heart of God, you will not condemn another human being for anything. You will impute to them God's righteousness. You will become a Melchizedek, one who brings to people the bread and the wine. Because we are being unveiled to who we really are, a Melchizedek priest, one who has no beginning of days nor end of life, one who in the very beginning stood in the presence of God. One who came from the very substance of God Himself. And you bring to creation the bread of His Word and the wine of His enjoyment. You see, that's another thing that is said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He said the law came through Moses, but grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. Which one would you rather have? The law through Moses or grace and reality? And the root word of the meaning of grace, one of the root words is, look it up in the Strong's even, it's there, but one of the root words is joy, enjoyment. So you can say that verse like this. The law came through Moses, but enjoyment and reality came through Jesus Christ. So a Melchizedek priest, don't condemn people, doesn't stand in the pulpits telling people how sinful they are. He stands in the presence of God and He imputes to you God's righteousness. He brings to you a word that goes past your mind and settles into your spirit. A Melchizedek priest speaks from the very heart of God and speaks into your spirit and causes life and the energizing force of God to begin to spring forth within you. It's not law, it's grace and enjoyment. You see, the enjoyment of God has become a lost art, if you want to call it that, in the Christian's mind, because they are living in a sin consciousness. When you feel separate from God and you feel, you know, and it's a natural thing to feel bad over your condition. But listen, if you do not understand Calvary, if you do not understand the word of reconciliation, if you do not, or let's put it this way, if you do understand the word of reconciliation, if you do understand God does not impute to you your sin, He imputes to you His righteousness, when you come together, you will not have a sin consciousness. When you meet together as His people, you won't have to try to get into the presence of God. When you meet together, you realize you don't get into the presence of God, my friends. You are the presence of God on this earth. And let me tell you something. When you realize that and you walk in that, everyone knows it's not something to attain to. It's something that you are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, we're not justified by our actions. Yet that's what religion will teach us. You know, this law and grace thing, this Judeo-Christian mentality, is in the very, it's in the air that we breathe. It's impossible for us to think, unless we're living a certain way, that God could still bless us. Because doesn't the law itself in the Old Testament say that if you don't abide by the law, that you'll be cursed? You'll be full of sickness and disease and death. If you're living by the law, and listen, I'm telling you folks, that's the problem. Because whenever you're living under a mentality of law to please God by a performance out of the Adam nature, you are under the curse of the law. And under the curse of the law, you receive curses and not blessings. That's why Paul said in Galatians, I think it's 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of these days, all of us are going to wake up to this fact that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the moment that dawns in its fullness in our consciousness, every disease, every sin, everything that has had any kind of influence on our lives will immediately disappear. But you see, the natural man can't receive this. And you can't look at your natural man and believe this. You will become as Abraham, who considered not his own body as good as dead, but he believed Him who had spoken unto him, and God counted it to him for righteousness. When are you going to begin to not look at your body, your condition, your fault, and your hang-ups, and begin to believe God who has spoken through the mouths of His holy apostles and prophets? God, who in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, and He has said, you are not guilty, and I set you free. I do not impute unto you your sin, I impute unto you your righteousness. I, by the very life that I am, have redeemed you from the curse of the law's effects. We have to get out of the Judeo-Christian mentality. My God, that's an impossibility for the human to do. But that's why God is unveiling our eyes in these days to the reality of His presence within us. I'm going to continue with this tomorrow, but I want to stop tonight. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.